The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage, from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Bud Elliott, that's Tom Fornelli, that's Danny Cannell. I'm Chip Patterson, coming to you live at youtube.com/cover3 and everywhere you get your podcasts on demand. Thanks for hanging out. Smash that subscribe. Smash that like and come and join us in the chat, a.k.a. the Cover 3 tailgate, where questions are already being asked. You know, like who, what program? How about this? Danny, I love you're rocking, repping for nephew Ben Millbrooks, repping the Wolfpack right there, the ACC tournament champs. Getting the victory against North Carolina, of course, been a big part of their path as they took down the other five ACC teams with the national championship in their trophy case. How about that? Go Louisville, Syracuse, Virginia, Duke, North Carolina. I mean, that's, you earn it that way. But right now, we're about to play out the bracket later on in the show as if who would win it if it was football. But just general state of the program, what school do you think has the best chance to do what Florida did in 2006? And win both a national championship and football and men's basketball in the same academic year. Again, we're going to play out the bracket for like this year later, but just in general, big picture, Danny, who would you go with?
Who? Win in both Texas, maybe. Trying to think. I mean, Michigan's basketball program is a little bit of a dumpster fire right now. Same with Georgia. So like you're going with the top tier of who could. You know, my mind is obviously going to gravitate towards football. I'd say Texas, maybe.
Oregon just won the Pac-12
tournament.
I guess in theory that they could do something. Tennessee, like, can't be totally counted out. I guess they're
I think Tennessee's the answer.
Oh, it is. Ooh. Okay, all right.
I think Tennessee, though, further than the further from the top than Texas, is closer to the top in men's basketball and still in a somewhat close vicinity in terms of the football. I mean, you're still looking at a program top half of the SEC. Texas, we'll see. They're 7th seed in the tournament this year. Rodney Terry, of course, coming off an Elite Eight run last year. But I think Tennessee's the answer. Tom, where would you go?
First of all, please refer to me as Big Ten champion Tom Pinelli, not just Tom. I think Tennessee's a good bet. I would say not this year, but just ceiling wise and where their program is currently in basketball and where their football program has shown an ability to get to at times. Auburn is a good bet, I think, as a team that could do it. Not somebody I think is going to do it, you know, next year, because I don't think Auburn football is winning the national title, but they have won national titles. They've gotten, you know, they've competed for it and their basketball team is really good.
Yosef in the chat just chimed in Alabama.
Yeah. I think we're all already just forgetting the fact that they, competed for national championships. Right. Just so, yeah, like that is a team that's had a top three seed in the NCAA tournament now each of the last 3 years and won a national championship as recently as 2020, competed in the college football playoff just last season. Like, dadgummit. I think Alabama's the right answer.
Yeah. Oates just got another extension. Didn't he get another extension?
Just and then immediately lost like 10 minutes later.
At least he didn't get fired and then win the conference tournament.
Yeah. I can't. Who did Alabama lose to? They were upset. Florida. I know that. Florida. There we go.
Yeah. Florida hung 100 on them in, I think, the semifinals before the Gators ended up losing to Auburn.
It is kind of funny how many like football and basketball programs are like opposites at schools. Like you look at Iowa, who can't score at all in football, but their basketball team is all about scoring and they can't defend anybody. And Alabama's kind of the same way. If you think historically, like what Saban's dynasty teams were, you go to their basketball team and they're trying to score 100 on you because if they don't, they might lose. It's just funny to me.
The priorities also sometimes show up along the way. Your interim coach just ran off a couple big wins. Let's just give him the job. You know, no big deal because we're all concerned about making sure Quinshon Judkins gets the bag, making sure that the Buckeyes are competing for the national championship. A little bit of an uninspiring coaching search there for a top job. Hey, you know, whatever. You do whatever makes you feel good, Buckeyes.
Like he's like, I just got here. What am I? I got to do a coaching search already. Screw that. The guys, he's doing okay. Just hire him.
Yeah. And Nebraska's playing Texas A&M, the Trev Alberts Bowl in the tournament.
Both women's and men. You see that first round? Yeah. Both are identical. I mean, the deep conspiracy theory, TV ratings wise, are all over this one.
Oh, all right.
Why would he delete the tweet?
I don't know.
Because it was pretty harmless.
He put it back up, didn't he?
I thought
he had a typo. Yeah. I saw that he put it back up.
Okay, good for him, for he did. There was a random something at the end of it that didn't make sense.
Look, it is the Monday after Selection Sunday. We've got hot brackets. We've got a bracket challenge that we will be telling you about all throughout the week so that you can come and compete against us. And a little bit later on in the show, we're going to have a little bit of fun with the bracket, gaming it out as though it was the college football programs, not the men's basketball programs competing. But let's turn our attention back to our expertise. Check out the Eye on College Basketball podcast, our friends there, for coverage all throughout the NCAA tournament. So, news but no news. It's my favorite kind of college football updates. As you know, Thursday, we get wind that we're going to have everybody okaying a new playoff format. It's what we've been discussing. It's what we've been debating. Then the news comes on Friday, and all we get is a memo of understanding. We've got no commit. We don't even have a commitment on the number of teams.
Like, is a memo of understanding pretty much just saying, "Yeah, I read it."
Well,
and I clicked agree.
Well, what they agreed to, as I understand it, what they have agreed to is the money. They have agreed the leaders to sign the new media rights deal for 2026 and beyond, and in there are the languages of it will be a format that will include at least 12 teams, so 12 or more, and the revenue distribution where, you know, we see that the SEC and the Big Ten, they're going to be, you know, getting the larger chunk of the pie, sort of the payouts. Everyone is signed up. Everyone agrees to it. But, I was looking at the reporting. It looks like we're not even on the 3-3-2-2-1-1 hike anymore. Like the new preferred model is a 5+9. What's going on here?
I honestly don't hate the 5+9. It's just let's get the 9 best teams that don't win their conference and get them in there. I think it creates higher quality games. If you're the SEC and the Big Ten and you already get these other leagues to agree to your revenue split that you want, then you got to be pretty confident you can earn your extra shares by winning your way in, right? So this is probably the best of both worlds for those leagues. And I do think that some of the uncertainty about this is related to the timeline on which Florida State and Clemson and those teams plan to leave the ACC. Now, we know there's the 2027 look-in, and it can happen even earlier if there's conference realignment. But, I mean, if we think this thing is done in like 6 months, or sooner, right? Because you have the August 15th deadline. Why not just kick the can down the road a little bit? I think there's a real chance it is done.
Yeah. I mean, that's primary. Like, you can go with the auto bids of the 3-3-2-2-1-1 hike. But again, like Bud was just saying, in a few months from now or a year from now, whenever the hell it happens, you're going to have to redo the auto bids again, because one of those conferences might not exist. Or if it does exist, it's going to be a very different looking version of that conference. It's going to be like the Pac-2 right now. So I think the 5+9 makes more sense, both from that kind of from that vantage point, and also just from a competitiveness of the product vantage point, and that you do want to make sure you get your best teams in because it is a TV product. But I also do find it very, very telling that, like you said, Chip, everybody's agreed to the money. They have no idea what it's going to look like, but they have all agreed to be paid for it, which, again, is always what it's going to be about. It's like, yeah, sure, whatever, just as long as we're getting money for it.
That's what it's always been about. That's what we've been saying on here since day one when we started having this conversation, was don't be distracted by the amount of AQs, the numbers. It's, you know, it was always about the revenue split. And no surprise, Big Ten, SEC come up big. ACC getting a little bit more in the Big 12. That was at least a little bit of a feather in Jim Phillips' cap. Like, yeah, like, hey, at least we're not them. But I do think the 5+9, the only thing that bothers me is I liked the 3-3-2-2. I forget what it is already.
1-1.
I like that one from the perspective of that you weren't going to hoard all the teams from the SEC and Big Ten, because I think there's a really good chance that 8 out of those 9 are probably SEC or Big Ten. In that model, the 5+9, but like that's when you look down the road, and if there is a split off and the ACC is a shell of what it used to be, and if there are those, then you're like, all right, well, that doesn't make any sense to have them have the same auto bids. I just wonder if it's going to be flexible. Like, if it isn't done, maybe they go back to the 3-3-2-2-1, and then when it splits or when they consolidate, whatever you look at it, then they go to the 5+9.
Yeah, if I was the ACC, I liked knowing there were two spots for ACC teams. And even if you thought that Florida State is on the way out, whatever, that's even
better. That's the big win for them.
But they would never. But that's just like a legal fiction, though, because they would never keep those spots because of the look-in clause, which is triggered upon any conference realignment. If Florida State gets out, the Big Ten and SEC are not going to give the ACC two spots, regardless. Mm-hmm. Like that's a yank immediately.
You're talking about two things. The look-in clause is for the ACC and its own media rights deal.
The look-in clause. No. There is a look-in clause, according to Dellinger, that it triggers in 27. However, you can do it earlier for the format. Mm-hmm. So they in this memorandum of understanding, they have said, hey, if there's any conference realignment, we can open this thing up even sooner as far as the playoff format.
And I love how they framed it as like, hey, the Big Ten and the SEC are allowing these other leagues to look in after a few years if they don't like the way things are working, as if the Big Ten and SEC aren't putting it in there because they know in a few years, we're probably going to want to change things because we'll have three of your teams.
I mean, we're watching a horror movie and the protagonist is walking out to the shed with all the chainsaws and the villain is the Big Ten and the SEC, the Super 2 Advisory Board, STAB. Yeah. And you're just like watching it happen. Like, no, come on. Come on, guys. Let's go. Just sign this paper and everything will be okay. You guys get the privilege to look in when we have this special look in.
So, see, Chip, the Big Ten and SEC are just liberators. They are liberating you from your awful government.
Okay.
Do we think the Big 12, like let's say they had done the 3-3-2-2-1-1 thing. Would the Big and Florida State and Clemson and Miami and whoever else leave the ACC? Would the Big 12 have been able to keep two auto bids? Because if so, the Big 12, like considering they have zero teams that actually compete for a national title, would have been making out like a bandit. Like for them to have two auto bids is pretty remarkable.
I think the Big 12 having two auto bids is similar to, I think the ACC loses Florida State and Clemson. It looks like the Big 12.
It's worse.
You think the ACC is worse than the Big 12 without Florida State?
Easily. The ACC, as far as for national title competition, the ACC is really top heavy. I think the Big 12 is much deeper than the ACC.
I would also suspect if you look at like non-conference schedules of current Big 12 schools and non-conference schedules of ACC schools, when you remove like the Florida State and the Clemsons, the Big 12 schools have probably performed much better against Big 10 and SEC teams.
I don't know. And Danny, what was that record that we were holding out? What was the ACC's record against SEC teams like 3 weeks into the season? Let's just keep pointing.
If you remove Clemson and Florida State.
No, Miami.
Miami had a huge win over Texas.
Huge win over Texas.
Yeah,
North Carolina.
They got that win over Middle
Carolina.
Tennessee. Oh, wait. Come on. No, they lost that game to Middle
Tennessee. Yeah. Mm. Come on. Virginia, you know, just.
Wasn't it 9-3?
It was.
That's
look.
Basketball, but I thought it was 9-3 throughout the whole season.
I'm just saying over the long haul, I'm guessing the Big 12 teams have done pretty good.
Okay. All right. I mean, don't we normally fade them in bowl games?
No, that's the MAC, Chip. Fade the MAC.
That's true. That's always. Any other sort of burning questions or pieces of the playoff future that stand out from, I mean, what really is a little bit of a left turn from at least the way that I was projecting this thing moving forward? I do generally agree that with Tom's point, competitively, 5+9 is going to give us the least complicated, most realistic snapshot of the top teams in college football. So I'm okay with it on that point.
It's the most work by the committee, though, which I want to see the least amount of work by the committee.
That's true.
You know, like that's what I would like to see, but it is what it is.
Yeah, Bud said it was a red herring, the selection committee
thing. I'll say this. Do you think I shouldn't ask this question because I think it's stupid.
I think I know the answer.
I know, Tom, you said, I don't know, I can put out your dirty laundry here, but you were like, I don't care about 65, 66, like last four out. The amount of, you know, conversation about that. And then you quickly forget, like tomorrow night, it's like forgotten about. How upset do you think the people will be about 12, 13, 14, and 15? You know, like if it's 14, 15, 16, it'll be on a magnitude level. Do you think it'll be way bigger than it is for college basketball? Because there's some, but I would think there's still a lot of teams that are going to be pretty vocal and upset about getting left out.
Because it's not really 12, right? Because the G5 team is almost certainly going to be the one that's ranked like 18, but they're automatically in. So you're really going to be arguing like 9, 10, 11, 12.
Right.
Two of those teams are going to get left out.
Right. Yeah. Like I would say like the difference is going, what I texted last night is I hate the playoff, but I'm very grateful that I don't have to argue over which 20 and 14 team should be in the tournament. But like, that's going to be the situation. Like in college basketball right now, it's like, oh, St. John's is 25th in KenPom and it's not in the tournament because they ignore, they only beat one tournament team all year. Whereas it's like, I don't really feel bad about St. John's for losing 14 games. Now, when the debate comes between a 9-3 SEC team and a 9-3 Big Ten team, again, I don't exactly care about three lost teams being in a playoff, but I feel like that is going to be a more, you know, an argument with firmer ground to stand on. And also, I just think a very much louder microphone, because I think that college football, the postseason is very larger than basketball.
Can we, are we short on time? Are we going to be tight? I have a quick idea.
Yeah.
Go. Because I don't know if you guys talked about this, one of the mailbags, I don't know if it was a question was asked, which bowl or bowls, plural, is going to figure out what basketball figured out with the NIL tournament they're going to have. You know, the tournament I'm talking about, I think Fox bought it. It's going to be $1 million payout. There's 2 million. So 1 million goes like distributed evenly among the teams. And then there's $1 million payout to the winners. Which group of bowls or bowl is going to figure that out early in the season? And then that bowl might become more attractive to some than the playoff, where if it's $1 million payout for the bowl teams and it's all within an NIL structure, like that's the solution to fix the broken bowl system, especially the early ones.
I know. It's the same one that sold its naming rights to Jimmy Kimmel, Gronk, and had LA like, like live animals on the sidelines in SoFi, like that.
Vomiting camels.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was it. It was like vomiting camels on the side. I mean, that is the one that I would say is has the most likelihood of emerging with a real forward thinking. Because I do think that's forward thinking of term. Totally. Like, this is an entertainment product, and so let's try to get the best out of this. Let's hold that little carrot out there of a big old payout.
I would be way more intrigued, way more inclined to watch, way more inclined to bet on or make a pick on a game that had something at stake that was more than the players were normally used to, which is money. I think it'd be a huge boon. We should start at the Cover Three Bowl.
All right, you can pay for it, and then
yeah, you got
Bud, and then Bud, Chip, and I will promote it.
I guess I'm just thinking, like, why would you pay to have it if you're getting teams that are not in the playoff?
To add something to it, add more eyeballs, add more intrigue, add more rating. You know, add more.
But I agree
in the future of America.
I agree in theory. But, like, do we actually think that more people will watch a non-playoff bowl game because Stars are playing it? Because I think the vast majority of these bowl games exist basically to fill airtime, right? And people are watching them because there's literally nothing else on. Like, ESPN owns almost all of these bowls. I imagine ESPN will probably kill a couple bowls next year because that they're going to conflict with when the playoffs happen.
How much money does, like, a standalone kind of college football game on any weekend of the year bring in? Like the SEC on CBS game, how much revenue does that one game bring in for the company or ESPN's ABC's primetime game? Because I think that a lot of those games are, you know, not always teams that are going to be in the playoff. So if there's enough revenue just generated from that game, like, say you produce $1.5 million in ad revenue, whatever it would be, and you give $1 million to the team, the winning team, you've still made $500,000.
Right.
And you've also sold advertising for that, you know, window for the ratings going forward. I don't know how
I think
works.
It protects,
I'm just spitballing here.
I know. That's why I think it protects the who wants to be there, because it's very obvious the teams that do and don't want to be there. I was at the Boca Bowl, and it was Syracuse and South Florida. Like, you could not have had a bigger disparity in who gives a crap, and it was all USF. But if you have money on the line, and I admit there's still going to be opt-outs. Like, I think if you're a first-round pick, like, you're still going to opt out of that game. But I think you could see a lot of guys stick around for the payday. And if it's a bigger payday for the winner or winner takes all, then I think it comes really compelling.
I just don't know why I would do it if I ran the bowl. I don't think I'm going to sell more tickets because the players are playing in it for these right. non-playoff bowls. Like, I just – like, they literally just exist to fill TV inventory.
I think
what if you can get Nelly to perform at half?
Yeah, I think the spectacle would work. I mean, you're selling it as a spectacle, like
as a one time. Like, thing? Shiny things.
I don't know about one time, but I don't think it would work for 10 years. But I think it could.
Spike. I think you'd have teams begging to get in.
All right, but like in any amount that you could make it that would be so flashy as to get people interested in the amount is probably not good business for you. And conversely, any player that you think actually materially impacts the ratings or the attendance for the game is too expensive to pay NIL-wise.
I don't know.
I think one game away from the NFL.
I think that people are stupid, and I include myself in that group of stupid people. I think just calling something the $1 million bowl game would draw Same. Attention.
Yep.
Totally.
We've got some infighting here on the Cover 3 Bowl Selection Committee. Oh man.
Yeah, the $1 million game. Boom. That'll sell quick.
When is this NIL tournament going to be for hoops?
I think it's preseason. Isn't it like the Maui Classic, Bahamas Classic, and then it's the whatever it's called? I think it's a preseason.
Or early season. I think the game's
early. Yeah. Early.
Yeah. So, anyway, something to keep an eye on as the Cover 3 Bowl looks to finalize our plans to take over the college football and save the college football postseason. Remember, the Cover 3 Bowl, we are here for you. Coming up on the other side, you know, it's time to start filling out some brackets. So let's enter a bracket and fill it out as if it was college football teams. We're going to do that and more next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It's bracket time, so get yours in now with the CBS Sports app. You can play in men's and women's pools with friends and join our challenges for the chance to win a new Nissan Rogue and trips to the 2025 Final Four. Get the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/cover3 to start filling out your brackets. No purchase necessary. See terms and rules for details. Come compete against us in the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/cover3. Again, cbssports.com/cover3 directs you right to our bracket group. All right, boys, let's have some fun. And hopefully we can get the technical side. All right, Mikey, can we bring it up? I will fill this out. Yes. And I will, whatever we decide today, I'll enter it. Okay. This will be my entry into this. Will be Chip's entry into the 3 bracket challenge. Okay. So, we're going to take this and I'll try to read this aloud for those who listen on audio, but, we'll blow through some of these fast. And if it gets interesting, then we'll keep it up. So we're starting in the East in the upper left-hand corner, fighting Jim Mora's. We advance. FAU against Northwestern. We've got, by the way, hold on, point of clarification. Are we doing like
last year?
Yeah, last year or like projecting forward, like 2024?
My power ratings take in both the past and the future.
Vox, so I like that.
That's what I'm doing.
I think future or leaning future is probably a little more fun just because more unknown, right?
Yeah.
All right, so
no brand biases, though. See, this is what bothers me. This is when there's going to be a lot of brand bias towards those preseason top 25 rankings. I don't love that, but I'll work with it.
All right, FAU against Northwestern. What do we think, David Braun or Tom Herman? Who gets the nod?
Northwestern. Me, I'm voting Northwestern.
Boy, Big Ten homer right there.
Yeah, all right. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Chip, what are you doing over there?
All right. San Diego State. I'm going to keep it tight. I don't see y'all's faces, so keep talking to me. San Diego State and UAB.
Ooh. Wait, another point of clarification. Is this at UAB?
Or
is
no, these are all neutral sites.
Yeah, all neutral sites.
I'm going to go with Trent Dilfer year two, UAB. Although San Diego State's offense should look a little bit better.
Sean Lewis.
Yeah. I'm going to San Diego State.
I'm going to go San Diego State as well. Yeah.
All right. Auburn against Yale.
The fighting Barton Simmons.
Upset, or we just take Auburn?
I mean, if it's the Auburn that showed up against Maryland in the bowl game,
or the Auburn that played against New Mexico State at home,
dude.
I mean,
yeah.
Could Barton cover, or was he like a run stopping safety? Because like covering against Peyton Thorne, you won't need to cover. So if they're just going to run it down their throat, I don't know if Barton's going to be able to stop that. So I'm going to go with Auburn.
Yeah. I don't know if Barton was ever the same after the injury, you know, just, all right, we'll go Auburn, BY Duquesne. Sorry. You just got steamrolled. Morehead State. Sorry.
Damn straight.
All right.
Then
Iowa State, South Dakota State.
No, let's see.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a good game, but definitely Iowa State, that is a good right? game.
Not definitely, right. But Washington, I know with them, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Iowa State or Washington State. That's a good one.
So they lost Cam Ward.
Yeah. Iowa State's Rocco bringing Becht. Back
Rocco.
Becht.
Yeah.
New offensive coordinator, though. Mm-hmm. I'll go slight lean to Iowa State.
We like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Tom. Illinois, BYU.
First, I want to go on a slight rant here, if that's okay.
Sure.
The NCAA Tournament Selection Committee continues its quest to screw over the Illini in the bracket every single year. A few years ago, Illinois was a one seed, won the Big Ten, and they put Loyola at 8, despite the fact that Loyola was ranked 9th in KenPom at the time. They were an 8 seed in the tournament. A couple years ago, Illinois is a 4 seed, and they get Houston in the second round, who is a 2 seed, despite Houston being the 4th seed in KenPom. And this year, the committee admitted that BYU would have been a 5 seed,
but they don't play on Sundays.
So they bumped them down to a 6 seed and they give them to Illinois in the second round. They're also 16th at KenPom. I know what you're doing. I don't know what Illinois did to you, selection committee. I'm assuming it's a bunch of Indiana alumni on that thing. But I would go with Illinois in this matchup and screw you, committee.
All right.
Can I rant Danny? On this as well, slightly?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. I understand not wanting to be just completely beholden to some of the more predictive metrics, like a KenPom. But if you're going to deviate from those substantially, you better have like a really good reason, like maybe, you know, serious injury to a star player or something like that. When these committees are screwing up, is like, they're not really equipped to understand some of the advanced math that make these metrics as good as they are. So they lean on this like net bullshit and like these quad, whatever, like nice round number stuff that like they can explain and talk to each other about, even though they're really sort of arbitrarily drawn and not, I don't know, I don't find them all that helpful. So
like, I don't know, man. It's
Ken New Mexico's top 25 in KenPom, yeah, and they're like behind San Diego State.
I mean, New Mexico is underseeded. Sure, they're not an 11; they're more like an 8. But I don't. The team sheet has KenPom on it. KenPom is on there. KPI is mm-hmm. on there. Like, they have predictive analytics on the team sheet when they're looking at these teams and comparing them to each other. It's not like just because specifically the KenPom ratings do not fall in line with, you know, the seeding with a lot of this stuff. It's not as though the committee's going head in the sand. We don't look at analytics. They have a half of their information are power ratings and predictive metrics. Half of them are resume ratings, strength of schedule, strength of record. You know, they make bad decisions, but I don't think they are willfully going through a poor process.
All right, look,
unless they can screw Illinois.
When when I pull up Google Maps, right? I'm trying to go somewhere. Hey, let's hit directions. They don't give me the option to take horse and buggy next to car, right? Like they give me the best options, and like these other options are not as good as these predictive metrics. So it makes it less good.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with the college football playoff. If you're just going to go off power ratings, you don't need to play the games. It's got to be a blend of the two. So I do agree with you in that. I think that they
is that the analogy, though? Like, you don't need to play the games, or is it like you don't need the committee?
No, I think you need the committee for this, because I do think that you have to reward teams for playing a more difficult schedule and maybe losing some games, even though, like, again, New Mexico's higher rated in KenPom, but according to a lot of the metrics, the Mountain West just isn't as good of a league as other leagues. So I don't know, like St. John's had, I talked about St. John's earlier, they're 25th in KenPom, which is a great predictive metric. It doesn't change the fact they lost 14 times.
Yeah. And that they only beat, what was it, like their quality win
was Creighton. That's it. They lost to Michigan, which was doo doo. It's like they lost a couple of non-con games that could have boosted their resume. So it's just,
yeah.
It's really hard to pound the table for your team saying they should be in when just a few weeks ago you were saying they were unathletic, couldn't move, couldn't do anything. He tore apart his whole roster, and now you want to say they're one of the best teams in the country. Get out of here.
All right. BYU or Illinois? Danny.
Illinois.
Yeah.
All right. Northwestern takes down UConn. Yeah?
Yes. Jesus. Well, what's the total on that game? 32.5. Oof.
29. San Diego State, Auburn, the other end. The total here is going to be 64. Where are we going?
Not even, no, Sean Lewis is there now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. 64. It's the other end. Like Hugh Freeze against right. Sean Lewis. Like we'll go from a rock fight to a track meet.
They're going to score.
Really?
I still think it's Auburn.
It has to
Auburn's be Auburn. Favored, but do they win?
I mean, that's coming the question. Like,
they're definitely favored. Man. Like they were favored by 28 so against North New Mexico State.
All right.
I think you have to go Auburn.
All right. And then Auburn over Northwestern?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Good. All right. And then Illinois, Iowa State. What a game. What a
great homers game. On here.
Nathan Schielhaus calling Illinois, telling us all of Iowa State's plays now that he's no longer there, gives the Illini a slight advantage, and they pull off a squeaker with a last-second field goal.
I'm going to Illinois.
Illinois? Danny?
I'll go with it.
Let's all go. Bunch of Illini homers on this show. Jeez.
All right, and then finally in the East Regional Final, Auburn, Illinois. Auburn? Yeah. See, this is that like Auburn could the – speaking of all this KenPom talk, the fourth-rated team in KenPom, they could also get it done in football. All right, Mac Brown, does he slip up against Howard? We're now down in the West region.
Howard, okay. Cam Newton's little brother again. Just thanks.
Michigan State over Mississippi State?
I don't know. I do want to give a shout out to Jessica Ping, who is a golfer on the Epson Tour, which is like the number two tour. She stays at our house every year. And yesterday she got the first professional win. So she won. She won the Iowa Classic, brought home a huge, like the big, like check for the boys, which was really a
Happy
cool.
Happy Gilmore check.
Oh dude. It's awesome, man. They are loving it. So congrats Jessica. She went to Mississippi State. So,
oh, cool.
I was like, how big of an adjustment was Starkville from Seoul, Korea? And she's like, pretty big, actually. Yeah that was.
Okay, so Mississippi State, Jeff Lebby year one over our year
it's
one.
It's a coin flip.
Okay. I'm tempted to go with Michigan State.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to Grand Canyon. It's St. Mary's against Grand Canyon.
Does St. Mary's have a football team? Do either of them have a football team?
I do not know if either one of them do, but I feel like Grand Canyon could field one quickly if they needed to.
Yeah, they just borrow Liberty's players.
Yeah, Bam, again, the cakewalk bracket. I'll tell you what.
All right, what about North Carolina, Michigan State?
I'm going North Carolina. Max Johnson.
Wow. I think
North Carolina next year could be.
Yeah. I think Michigan State is favored over them if on a neutral.
I think so too. I'm gonna go Sparty. And then in the Nick Saban Bowl, it's Kalen DeBoer against Jonathan Smith, Alabama and Michigan. Roll Tide?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen this in a playoff game before.
Yeah. St. Mary's does have a team according to the chat.
Connor Cook can get
They're
it done.
Losing either way. It doesn't matter.
This one's kind of awesome. Dabo against Bronco.
Ooh.
Clemson, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Who wins?
Clemson. New Mexico lost a couple decent offensive linemen to the portal. So I think
one to Illinois.
Yeah. And one to San Diego or to Arizona State. So
offensive line questions, not ideal when Clemson.
Yeah.
Agreed. I'm going to say Baylor over Colgate. Shout out to the Patriot League, but I think Bears should be able to handle that. Dayton, I mean, Nevada may be near the bottom of FBS, but I think I'd still take them over Dayton. We like that?
Yeah. I would. Yeah.
Brennan gets a nice little favorable draw. All right, Clemson, Baylor.
Clemson.
Easy.
Yeah, I think Clemson.
Clemson, Arizona.
Clemson.
All right. Clemson, Bama.
Wow. Clemson. I haven't seen that before.
Right. I mean, look, Dabo's got Alabama's number. So I'm going Dabo.
Let's go.
All right.
ACC boys ride together.
This Clemson squeaks by, but
spring portal. Because, like, we know Clemson.
My vote's for Bama.
Okay.
Don't come after me. I voted for Bama.
All right. So we'll do. So we've got Auburn and Clemson in one national semifinal. Oh, man. I cannot wait to win this bracket challenge. Okay. Houston takes down the Longwood Longwoods. Good start. Billy Fritz's first NCAA tournament. Nebraska against Texas A&M.
A&M.
Mike Elko.
I'll go A&M.
Matt Rule. A&M. Okay.
Those are two fan bases James that Madison. Have a whole lot in common.
Wisconsin, James Madison.
I think given what JMU lost, I'm going to take Wisconsin here. It would have been a good game this year.
This year, if we were just saying 2023 teams, then I would be more tempted to take the Dukes. I like looking ahead because it's more fun here. I think that I'm Wisconsin too.
Same.
Okay. Duke. Houston, Texas A&M.
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 All right. Wisconsin, Duke.
Wisconsin.
Boy. Again, this is one last year, next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If it was exactly. Riley Leonard, Mike Elko, instead we're talking Malik Murphy. All right, Wisconsin runs into Texas A&M in the Sweet 16. Mm. What do we think?
This might is a hard one.
I got to stick to my Big Ten. I'm going Wisconsin.
I kind of think it's A&M, but it feels pretty coin flippy.
Yeah, I think this is one of the harder ones we've had. I'll go Texas A&M.
SEC homers.
Who's getting it? Tyler Van Dyke, TBD?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh!
It's not Texas. Van Dyke secondary part.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Texas Tech against NC State. We have seen this game.
Good matchup.
Pack.
What do we think? Great matchup.
Feels kind of coin flipping.
Pack?
Yeah, Pack.
I vote Pack.
Is this
an early season non-conference game? Because, as much as I love Dave Doran, his team seem to get better as the year goes on. But all right.
Pack. He's got him ready for this.
So
that second round matchup's going to be good, though.
Woo! Yeah.
All right, the Devin Leary Bowl once Kentucky gets moved on over, NC State and Kentucky.
Does Dave Dorn have to apologize the basketball school comment?
He should.
Right?
Yeah.
How about that center?
About that.
Oh, DJ Burns? All right, so do you think he could convert into a tackle?
Yes, Chip and I were having this conversation. I was having this exact conversation with Chip the other day.
I think he could. I mean, his body makeup, he's like 6'8", 275. He's got great feet. He's got great athleticism. I think he's exactly what you're waiting, like what you're looking for.
How old is he? Like, is he like a 24, 25-year-old guy?
I think he is a fifth. Like, he's an older, basketball player.
I think he's on his third school. He was with Tennessee for a little bit. Then he went somewhere else. Then he's been at NC State.
That makes it a little bit less likely, obviously. But
yeah, like Illinois has a guy like that too, and Dane Danger, who's like 6'9". It's like 280, but he's got really long arms and great feet. And I'm like, man, I wish they could get him at left tackle.
Dude. All right, State and Kentucky.
This is a really good matchup.
Mm-hmm. Grayson McCall.
Do you trust either quarterback they took in the portal?
Do I trust NC State's quarterbacks or Kentucky's?
Either one. We haven't seen anything from Vandegrift.
Yeah.
We've at least seen Grayson McCall at a really high level when he's been in a great system.
That was in 2021, though. He hasn't finished the season healthy in 2 years.
No. I get that, but he was not bad last season before he got hurt.
That's true.
It was a different offense. It was not the best, passer rating we've ever seen. But it was good. And I think that's fine. I mean, that's an upgrade from where NC State's been quarterback-wise. So, yeah, I trust Grayson McCall.
I have NC State as like a half point better.
Let's do it.
Let's go Pack.
All right.
Oh, see, here we go. This gets interesting.
Back.
So who's Boise winning the play-in playing game?
Colorado.
Colorado for the vibes.
I think for this, right. We just have to. Dion.
Yes. Dion in the tournament.
So Dion comes in and takes down Billy Napier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe?
Yeah. Western Kentucky. Let's go.
Down goes number 15
over two.
Florida or Colorado?
All right. Come on, computer.
We already got him advanced, I think, don't we?
Yeah, no, get Florida the hell out of the paint.
No, we're saying Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colorado. We have Colorado. All right.
What's going on? Chip's internet shaky?
Yeah, he's napping. It's brilliant.
I think his internet's been a little sputtery. That or he's asleep from our conversation.
We really need to screen grab that and put it on.
Monday morning in March.
I mean, did y'all see the little like wheel start spinning?
No, but this is what we saw, Chip. Advance.
Hey guys, he wasn't sleeping, just resting his eyes.
All right, NC State. No, I went spinny wheel over here. I think that we're asking a lot out of our software. Let's see if we can get this thing home, land the plane. NC State, Colorado.
NC State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Physicality up front.
Yeah.
No, he's gone again.
All right. A&M or NC State?
A&M.
Ooh. Okay.
They played in the 45. What bowl was that? Didn't they just play in like the Mayo Bowl or the Russell Athletic Bowl a couple years ago? Who won that game?
Oh, now we're going off a couple years ago games? Come on.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Texas A&M is into the Final Four with Auburn and Clemson.
All right.
Yeah. We're so close. All right. You.
It's Struggle City today for Chip's internet.
TCU over Utah State, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
TCU over Utah State, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Gonzaga McNeese.
This is going great. Gonzaga or McNeese? Gonzaga. Does Gonzaga or McNeese?
This is off the rails. Oh my God. we got Danny taking phone calls live on the air.
So the only reason, all right. So now the only reason I took that call is because I have a 16-year-old who's only been driving for 2 weeks. She took my car to drop off the other one and she called. So I was like, is this an emergency? Is this something? Is this a call I don't want to get? And it was something stupid like, what are we eating for lunch? So sorry about that.
Dad, how do I start the car?
All right, TCU over Utah State.
Yep.
All right. Do you also have? All right, Tennessee or Texas?
Texas.
Oh,
Texas.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Okay.
I guess.
South Easy Carolina or Oregon? Yeah, Oregon.
That one is
Oregon.
Yeah. All right, Oregon, Texas.
Texas.
Texas?
Yeah. I mean, Oregon's had trouble getting over that Washington hump. We got to see it to believe it. So yeah. Texas
also struggled with the Washington hump, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's what they put in common.
TCU
That's
or Kansas? Makes it hard.
Kansas.
I think Kansas.
Yeah. All right.
Kansas, Texas?
Texas.
Yeah, I guess. Gosh. All right.
Please, we're so close. Oh my gosh, we're so close. Please work.
See, all right. Note to self, Chip, make your own bracket next year.
So we have a Texas A&M. Texas we have a semi in the Final Four.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we want.
Yes.
Go.
All right. Who are we going? Texas or Texas A&M?
And they say Clemson is just Auburn with a lake. So, like, I mean, this is all kinds of just, you know, familiarity.
I've never heard that one before.
You never heard that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the chat. Okay, Chip's heard it. All right.
Yeah. All right, Texas over Texas A&M?
Yes.
Yes.
And then who wins Auburn Clemson?
Clemson.
Clemson. Is that the worst dressed final among all fans? Like two battling shades of orange in whatever city? Where's in Phoenix?
Yeah. Our Pantone. You know,
all the guys in Suns gear too. Like the entire city of Phoenix is orange.
Texas wins the whole thing.
Yeah, Texas over Clemson.
All right, and Texas wins the whole thing. What's our over under? 61?
63.
I can get up over that, yeah.
62 and a half.
Danny's looking for an edge.
Oh. Gotta have the hook.
Submit. Mm-hmm. All right, so our final four is Auburn, Clemson, Texas A&M, and Texas. Our tiebreaker final score is 6.
Close that tab.
Yeah, Chip.
Whoever said close the illegal torrent.
uncheck the present thing or whatever, I guess, Mike, you're saying. Let me ask you guys a question. If you had other stuff going on this weekend and you only had like one half of one day to watch, like what's the can't miss, let's call it like 6-hour window of like Thursday or Friday?
I know what mine has to include, 9:40 CBS, because it's NC State.
9:40. Okay.
That's killing me. I was considering going to the game in Pittsburgh. No chance I'm going to watch 9:40.
9:40.
Let me look here. What are
you doing? Yeah, that's late. Especially for an East Coast game. Why don't they put some of the West Coast games out there?
Is it the East region that has
the Gladiators?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would look wherever those East games are going to be, whenever they're going to be popping up.
Okay.
All right. Whew. We still got to hit another break.
I think Thursday night is low key booty. I'd say Thursday morning or Friday early.
Yeah. Or Saturday and Sunday, watch CBS Sports HQ. Catch your boy in studio all day with all the analysis that you need. Let's go.
Are you Lauderdale?
I'm going to be in Stamford, Connecticut. Okay. Yeah, always wonderful. We have two studios for CBS Digital, and it's March, and your options are Fort Lauderdale or Stamford, Connecticut.
Spring break in Stamford.
But
cross the travel secretary off my Christmas card list.
All right. Coming up on the other side, a look at Tennessee's quarterback room with a question from a listener and more.
Next.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Back here on the Cover 3 podcast. I'm thank you for your patience on that one. I think I was just really asking a lot from our software to manage, you know, that comprehensive exercise. I look forward to winning. All right, this question is a leftover one from the big old bag of mail, and it comes from TNVols 615. Tennessee is going for the second straight year. Tennessee for the second straight year is going into the 2024 season with only two scholarship quarterbacks. Will this become a trend? Nico is the unquestioned guy and could be a dark horse Heisman candidate. The company line is no one wants to transfer in for a backup role. Seems insanely risky to me. Yeah, so he's wondering.
Okay, a couple things. One, I don't know who Tennessee's non-scholarship, their walk-on quarterback is, but some of the moneyed schools are able to slip in a guy who's like slightly less than scholarship caliber and throw him some NIL, especially if it's like an in-state tuition type dude, to where you're not having to use your like one of your 85 on a guy who is never going to be in the plans to play. And so they're basically buying an emergency option with a walk-on spot that they, you know, kind of NIL. We'll see if that's the case of what Tennessee will do. I mean, when you have a guy, it's very clear Nico's the next man up. I do think that makes it harder to bring somebody in, because how do you strike that balance between a guy who thinks is actually good enough to play for you, believes he can beat Nico out, which means he may have some like delusional problems, and you know, like actually will sign up to come, likely be a backup. You may need to go the Clemson route, where you find somebody who's like, okay, I don't have NFL juice to my skill set, but I would like to learn how to become a coach and that play, you know, coach on the field type player. Mm-hmm.
Obviously not every team can do it, but I do think like if you look for a guy from a smaller league who has starting experience, but doesn't really have an NFL future, and you just say, hey, we'll give you however many dollars to just come and be a scholarship or backup quarterback for us for a year. I mean, Illinois did it with John Paddock last year. Paddock would have been a starter at Ball State. They convinced him to come on the team as a walk-on, and then when he came in, he threw for 500 freaking yards in a game. It's like, it's not impossible to find these guys. I think you just kind of have to pony up the dough to get one.
That, I mean, it's a way to sign more than 85 scholarship guys in some cases. I mean, you're squeezing in a guy by paying for his education, essentially, and getting him on there. I think the question overall, though, is really interesting, because I do think it's going to be harder to have multiple scholarship quarterbacks just because of the way the whole structure. I mean, look at Texas. They had such a unique circumstance when they had three. And it was like, oh, my gosh. But every time we talked about him, we're like, who's leaving first? And it was Malik Murphy. You know, and also, and he goes to Duke, and you can't blame him for it either. So, like, I also wonder, do the teams, like, with their NIL allotment, do they only want to be paying two? Like, do they really want to be paying three? Or do they want somebody? I mean, I saw Navy Shuler. You know, he's Shuler's son, is one of the walk-on quarterbacks. It's a nice, but I don't think he's a player. But it's a depth piece. I mean, I wonder if that's what the rosters become more of, where it's two guys that you're paying, and then it's a pretty significant drop-off and some walk-on that's there that's truly like a stopgap that can call the plays, but is not going to, you know, you're devastated if you lose both two starters. And
it's pretty widely known how much, you know, it's been reported that they're paying Nico. Maybe they just don't have the money to go get the backup. But I think, honestly, I think this is kind of what Drew Pine is doing at Mizzou. Like, I don't think Drew Pine's going to Mizzou thinking he's going to become the starter and, you know, be a long-term NFL player. I think he's just like, they need a veteran backup, and maybe I can get into coaching and I get to work under Eli for a few years.
I Danny, like you were saying, I do think it is reflective. I don't think it's a trend specifically for Josh Heupel, but I do think it is reflective of the personnel challenges that all coaching staffs have as they're trying to, you know, play the carousel. Keep guys invested without having them leave, but make sure that you're not in a position where if Nico goes down, all of your aspirations are suddenly out the window. So I don't think it's specifically a Tennessee thing, even though it's the last two seasons like what happened. I just think it's kind of where you're at in college football. I mean, not everybody's going to have the Oregon situation where you've got Dylan Gabriel and Dante Moore. Right, that's the next one.
But that one's ideal. That one's good because you know Gabriel's only got one more year.
So that's the ideal. That's what anyone would sign up for right now.
And you might be able to. Well, the next class, you'd be able to sign a pretty good 5-star that could be like, all right, I only have to wait 2 years. You know, like or whatever it is. Then you could start stacking them. But that's why the GM position is becoming that much more important to structure. You know that room, every room. You know, but the quarterback room, obviously one of the more important ones.
Word. Thank you for your patience again. I'm glad. I thought it was fun. I like it. Look,
yeah.
Auburn, Clemson, Texas A&M. That's a pretty good football Final Four for the 2024 NCAA men's basketball tournament.
Your computer. Who do we have played Texas like North Carolina in the ACC championship.
What'd you say? My computer was like North Carolina in the ACC championship.
Yeah, just ran out of gas and just getting run over by NC State.
I mean, I was sitting there like, they're going to get tired, right? And they just didn't. They just did not. Amazing. Y'all, they were setting off fireworks in my neighborhood. Like they rushed Hillsborough Street. They went to the bell tower, like, because it's a bus ride for the team. So they came back on the bus and they went to the bell tower and like tons of fans out there at 3-4 in the morning celebrating with the team. It was something for a lot of NC State fans. It was a moment, right?
I mean, so 87 was their last. I didn't realize that was how long it was. I thought there would have been one sprinkled in at some point. And that's, I mean, to have a team that had lost four games in a row coming into the final stretch to turn it around and win five in a row, that is awesome.
All of the times since 87 that they made it to the final of the ACC tournament, they had lost to Duke or North Carolina. And they beat them both on the way to breaking the drought.
And Keats was on his way out. Like, he was going to get fired. And then he's got this clause in there, the two-year kicker. How many schools, like, do you think there's anybody in football like that? There's got to be a moment. We talked a lot about Kentucky and Stoops' contract, where if he had nine wins, he gets another couple years added. But I'm sure when they gave him that deal, they're like, yeah, sure, we'll throw it in there if you ever win it. And I mean, I think he was pretty done. I think he was cooked if they didn't have that run.
My thought, not my understanding, but my thought was if they went one and done and lost to Louisville, no chance. But I think Kevin Keats is liked by the administration, athletic director, university administration. I think that if he had done enough in that tournament, then they would be like, all right, you know, because he's in that portal flipping time. Like he got hit it with Tarquavion and Jarkel last year, flip it with the portal again. Brought out this new team, underperformed, but now they make it to the tournament. He's going to flip it again. So he at least can play the game.
Where did they finish in the ACC?
10th.
Yeah, see, I wonder if in future contracts, schools won't give themselves a little more leverage by saying, like, hey, two-year kicker, if you win the ACC and finish in the top half of the regular season. Mm. Right? Like, that way, like, do you want to give a guy a two-year extension based on a five-game sample?
Well, when you haven't won a title since 1987,
yes, you do, I guess.
That's why you're like, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
That team is fun to watch. And yet, like, dude, I watched some North Carolina this year. I feel like the guys that normally, like, score for them just weren't scoring.
Oh, they had good looks. They were missing them.
Yeah. So I'm like, not that worried about Carolina.
It was a very chippy game. I like
good
that.
Good rivalry. Good rivalry game. Rivalry.
All right. We will be back on Wednesday. Andrew Ivins? Right? Yeah, we'll be taking a look at the recruiting scene, some of the movers and the shakers, what the trends are looking like early in the 2025 cycle. Always love checking in with our friend Andrew Ivins from 24/7 Sports. So come and hang out for that 11 a.m. on Wednesday. And you can follow him on Twitter at BudElliott3. You can follow him at Tom Pernell. You can follow him at Danny Cannell. Follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
See ya.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.